2 weeks ago, we stood just inside the garden gate of Gethsemane and listened to our Lord in agony as the bitter cup was placed before Him. This was the last night before the cross. This was the night of betrayal. It was a night of injustice, cruelty, and abuse. There has never been a night as dark as the night in which Jesus was taken and through the providence of God, slain as our Passover. From Gethsemane, Jesus was tried in an illegal trial, condemned, and then turned over to Pilate, who turned Jesus over to be crucified that morning. Now, 2 weeks ago, we barely touched upon the events involving the Apostle Peter, which began with vain boasting and ended with bitter tears. And I believe that this passage deserves more attention. So this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of a perfect failure. A perfect failure. We're going to follow in the faltering steps of the Apostle Peter on the worst night of his life. First, Peter struck out. He struck out at the servant of the high priest, tried to chop his head off. And then second, he struck out 3 times, denying the Lord while sitting at the enemy's fire. Now, lest you get discouraged with this message, I have good news for you to start off the sermon. And that is that Peter failed, but his failure was not final. We know how it works out for Peter. Peter became the great apostle. He became a great leader of the early church. Wrote 2 books of the Bible. Preached on Pentecost. Saw 3,000 saved and baptized. Saw 5,000 saved shortly after. And so we know that Peter's failure was not final. He is going to serve as a warning to us, but also as an example of God's mercy and grace. And I believe that this will be an encouragement to us because most of us will see a little of ourselves in Peter this morning. I want you to consider first Simon Peter's failures, his failures. First, Peter fought at the wrong time. Notice in verse 47. While he yet spake, behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest, and cut off his right ear. Now John tells us that was Peter that was playing swordsman that day, and had chopped this man's ear off. Now Jesus had told them to sell their coats and buy a sword. Now, I don't know about you, but my sword comes in .40 caliber. And I like a .45 caliber sword also. But he told them to sell their garment if necessary and to buy a sword. And Peter assumed that this was a good time to use that sword. And so when he saw what was taking place, and saw the crowd that had come. Brother Dark, can you turn the mic down just a little bit? It's a little too loud. When he saw what was taking place and he saw the crowd coming, they said, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And they didn't even wait for the answer. He just started swinging. And Peter took that sword and took a wild swing at Malchus, the high priest's servant, and chopped his ear off. And I said 2 weeks ago that if I had been there, I think that I might have done the same thing. I think that I might also have risen to fight for the Lord. I hope that I would have. But there was a time to fight. But this was not the time to fight. We're to fight the good fight of faith. We're to resist the devil. We're to fight evil. There's a time to fight physically in defense of our nation, in defense of innocence, in defense of others. You know, let me just say publicly, we come to church to meet with God. If someone comes to church to commit violence, we're going to try to send them to meet with God. And I, for one, will fight to the death to defend any of you from anyone else that would want to harm you violently or try to take your life. And I believe that I'd be justified biblically to do so. You say, preacher, it says turn the other cheek. Well, if you want to slap me on the cheek, that's one thing. If you want to blow me away with a semi-automatic rifle, that's another. Amen.
And so there is a time to fight evil. And thank God we have law enforcement that is there to protect us from evil. But you know, the police officer is not always going to be there in time. You might have to actually defend your own life with violence at some point. And so there is a time to fight, but this was not the time for Peter to fight. In John 18, it says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Now, he didn't say, "Peter, throw your sword away." He said, "Put it up. You might need it another time, but you don't need it now." He said, "The cup that my Father has set before me, shall I not drink it?" You see, Peter was sincere, but despite that, he was going against the Father's plan. It was the Father's plan for Jesus to be taken and to be crucified, and Peter was trying to stop that without realizing what he was doing. He was fighting the wrong fight. Well, sometimes we fight at the wrong times too. We fight against the will of God, when we ought to learn to submit to the will of God. We don't like the will of God sometimes. It was a bitter thing for Peter to watch Jesus being betrayed and arrested and hauled away. It was bitter for him, but it was the will of God, you see. The will of God is not always easy to accept. Sometimes it is a bitter cup for us also, and sometimes we struggle and fight against the will of God for our lives. Can I tell you something? You need to learn to submit to the will of God. Fighting against God's will never do you any good. Remember Jonah? It was God's will for him to go to Nineveh. But instead of submitting to the will of God, he fought against the will of God. How'd that turn out for Jonah? 3 days in Whale University? Got his hair bleached? You know, in stomach acids. I think Jonah came out looking strange. How about you? You see, going against the will of God and fighting against the will of God, sometimes we fight against God's plan for our lives when we need to learn to submit and just let the will of God carry us along to where God wants us to be. Sometimes we fight circumstances that cannot change. Sometimes we fight the past. There's no point in fighting the past. The past is a ghost. You can't fight the past, because fighting the past will not change the past. Sometimes we simply fight the wrong fights. And Peter fought the wrong fight. Then secondly, Peter followed at a distance. Notice in verse 54, "Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off." Now, as this little mob made its way through the streets, the cobblestone streets of Jerusalem, when they arrested Jesus and Peter tried to fight, but Jesus told him to put his sword up, and what can I do now? And they're arresting Jesus. It says that all the apostles fled. Can you imagine them running off to the trees and hiding among the trees? And there's Peter behind an olive tree in the shadows. And he's looking around. He sees the crowd going away. And so he steps out from behind his olive tree, and he's sneaking from door frame to door frame and post to post and hiding behind trees and trying to get close. But he's following, but he is afar off from where Jesus is. Now, you see, I can't blame Peter for that. But the fact is that John stayed pretty close to Jesus all the way. And when Jesus was crucified, there was only one apostle at the foot of the cross, and that was John. So it was possible for the apostles to have stayed closer to Jesus than Peter did. Peter was trying to hide and blend in with the crowd while keeping one eye on Jesus, but not being associated with Jesus. You see that? So a lot of Christians live. They're saved. They want to keep one eye on the Lord. They just don't want Him too close. They like to kind of blend into their environment. They don't really want to be associated with Him at work, at school, in their neighborhoods with their family. And so, yes, they're following Jesus. They're just such a great distance between them and Jesus that they're not enjoying the close, sweet fellowship that they could have if they would stay closer to the Lord. You know, once Jesus was arrested, He didn't say anything to Peter the whole time. You know why? Because Peter wasn't close enough to hear anything. But John was at the foot of the cross. And you know what John heard? He heard Jesus' last words. And Jesus from the cross could say to him, John, behold thy mother, Mary. Mary, behold thy son. And because he was close enough to have communication, he received instruction from the Lord. You see, when we're so far away from the Lord that, yeah, he's up there and I'm following him and I'm a saved person, I'm Christian, but man, our fellowship with him is so distant. It's no wonder we never hear from heaven. It's no wonder we never get instruction. It's no wonder that we're not enjoying that peace and that joy that comes from a close fellowship with Jesus Christ. Listen, don't be the kind of Christian that follows at a distance. And then thirdly, Peter fellowshiped at the wrong fire, verse 55. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall. Now this tells us that Jesus was arrested on a cold night. Jerusalem gets pretty cold. It's up on a mountain. It's very cold. When we went to Israel, left the lowland valley wearing short sleeves. We got to Jerusalem, we had to get our coats out because it was so cold when we finally get up on the mountainsides, the mountaintop. And it was a cold night. Just imagine when Jesus sat and his face slapped, how much that hurts on a cold day. When they're ripping his clothes off and they're beating his back on a cold night, how much that hurt. While they're taking Jesus in, some of the servants built a fire and they're standing around warming their hands at the fire. And Peter sneaks up among them. He's got his eye on Jesus, but he's at a distance. And he steps up to the fire too and he's warming his hands at the enemy's fire as well. Who do you fellowship with? It is important to sit at the right fire and to be in fellowship with Christians, not the enemies of Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, Peter failed in his denials of Christ. Notice verse 56. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And notice, he denied what? He denied her charge. Says he denied him. You see that? He denied him. Saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. You see, Peter can't even stand by a fire without talking. And so he's talking. And Galileans apparently had a unique accent. You know, like someone from Alabama. You know. Or someone from Boston where they park the car in the yard. You know. I can't do very many accents. Maybe from West Texas. Or Arkansas. Or New Jersey. You know. The Galileans just had a distinctive accent. And these Judeans, they said, you're a Galilean. I can tell by the way you say, I'm a boot to go outside. You're a Galilean. You're one of them, aren't you? She's right. He's right. You're one of them, aren't you? Oh, no, I'm not. And he began to curse and to swear, to deny the Lord. He was given three opportunities to identify with Christ, and he refused to do so. He denied ever knowing the man. There's a hymn that says, Jesus, and shall it ever be, a mortal man ashamed of thee, ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glories shine through endless days, ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, on whom my hopes of heaven depend? No, when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere His name. So Peter fought the wrong fight. He followed afar off. He fellowshiped with the wrong fire. And he failed to identify with Christ. Now, secondly, what led to Peter's failure? Let me say first off that there's no question of Peter's love, loyalty, or sincerity. When he said he was going to do something, he meant it. He didn't make vain promises with no intention of carrying them out. When he said, I'll go to prison and to death, when he said that, he meant it with all his heart. Okay? So let's not question Peter's sincerity. But I want to ask, what led to his failure? Well, number one, pride. Pride. Proverbs 29 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Peter talked big because at that point in his life, he had a pride problem. He was a leader. He was outgoing. He was strong. Others looked to him for leadership, and he became prideful. And pride leads into all sorts of sins. You know, when you're humble and you fall, at least you don't have as far to fall. Man, when you think that you're way up here and you fall, it's a hard landing. Pride goeth before a fall. He was prideful. A good New Year's resolution would be to be clothed with humility each day of the week. And then prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. Jesus told them in the garden, pray that you enter not into temptation. But Peter slept when he should have been in prayer. Prayerlessness is a real problem. And then presumption. Back in verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. I think that Peter should have been a little more cautious after hearing such a warning from Jesus. But he presumed that he could handle anything that Satan could throw at him. You see, Peter didn't know Peter very well. Peter didn't know his limits. And I say to our young folks, you don't know your limits either. I said this a couple weeks ago, but you don't know the depths of Satan, and you don't know the depths of the flesh, and you don't know the power of temptation, and you don't know your limits like you think you are. Some of our kids, boy, they're running through life all the time. I can handle anything. You're going to fall off a cliff one day. Be wise to be slow down and be humble and say, you know what? I don't know everything. I don't know a lot. A few years ago, I couldn't even tie my own shoes. Maybe I ought to listen to my parents. And maybe I ought to be more cautious because, yeah, what the preacher preaches isn't just some boogeyman out there, you know, that messes up some people's lives. Yeah, he actually could destroy my life and leave me in ruins. Yeah, it could actually happen to you. Presumption. I can handle. I know what I'm doing. I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. I can handle anything life throws at me. I can handle the devil. Hey, don't be presumptuous on God, on God's mercy, or on your own ability or your own strength. Presumption. And then fourthly, I think that he had a misguided passion. He had a misguided passion. At first, Peter responded with great passion in defense of the Lord, but then he quickly faded out and ran off into the trees. Sometimes people who are very passionate about things and very zealous and emotional can get off track easily. Sometimes they burn very brightly for a while and then fizzle out. You know, people like Peter, they need someone to help keep them grounded. I was talking to a younger preacher. He's a missionary. And he's a fireball. Boy, he's a great young man. I love him. I love to be around him. I love to hear him preach. And he preached here once, and we were at dinner. And very outgoing, extrovert, and just a great guy. I love him to death. And he said to me, he said, Brother Raspberry, he said, I'm an extrovert. You're an introvert, aren't you? I said, yes. He said, you know what? He said, people like me, we need people like you. Because you keep us grounded when we need to be grounded. And I said, you know what, brother? I said, we need people like you because you help keep us excited. And Peter, you know who Peter's best friend was? You might think it was Andrew, his brother. You know who you find him with the most in the book of Acts and the Gospels? John. Level-headed, down to earth, John. John, who wrote the epistles that are all about the truth and right and wrong and black and white. And then you got Fireball Peter and you got Level-Headed John. They made a good team. But Peter's passion was a little misguided. And you got to be careful that your passion doesn't take you away from God's will. And then notice a personal provocation. A personal provocation. I'm not going to read this again, but he saw Judas coming. Now I guarantee you, when Peter saw Judas at the head of that mob, and saw Judas walk up to Jesus and kiss him on the cheek, and he remembered, didn't Jesus say one of us would betray him? And then he hears Jesus say, "Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" I just think Peter began to see red. You? And I think that if Judas had been close enough, he'd have tried to chop Judas's head off. Have you ever wanted to chop someone's head off? Maybe even at church? A personal provocation. You've got to watch out that someone in your life or someone that does something doesn't cause you to get away from God's plan for your life. So what if someone else did that? Someone, they said that. They fell. They failed you. What does that have to do with God? God is still the same. If you allow someone to come between you and Jesus, that means they're closer to Jesus than you are. So don't allow a personal provocation, getting upset with someone and being unforgiving towards them to cause you to fall out of God's plan for your life. And then lastly, there was a powerful adversary. Peter was no match for the unseen adversary that he faced that night. Satan himself came after Peter. Now you might be surprised that Satan himself does not appear as much in the Bible as you might think that he does. He appeared to Eve in the garden. He appeared to Job, or attacked Job personally. We find Satan coming after Jesus in the days of his temptation. We find, I believe, him there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Satan himself, not Abaddon, not one of his lesser demons, not a bunch of demons, not a legion of demons, but Satan himself came to sift Peter like wheat. And Peter was no match for Satan because Peter was walking the power of Peter, not the power of God. A powerful adversary. In verse 53, Jesus said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." The power of darkness was great that night, and Peter was not up to the challenge because of his pride and his presumption and his misguided passion and his provoked spirit. He was in prayerlessness. He was in no condition to face up to that temptation, that evil hour that came into his life. You don't know when you're going to need the power of God on your life. Y'all with me? I'm almost done. I put my seatbelt on every time I drive. And I've never been in an accident where I needed even the airbags or a seatbelt. Most I've ever been was a little fender bender. But I put my seatbelt on every time I drive because I never know when I'm going to be in an accident. And you need to be in prayer and you need to walk with humility, and you need to walk with God, and you need to be close to Jesus every day of your life because you don't know when the power of darkness will be present in your life. And you're not going to be ready. That one time you don't buckle up is the one time that drunk driver swerves over into your lane. And the one time you're not, that you're all, I mean, it was a perfect storm for Peter. All these things came together at one time, and it led to his bitter tears as he denied Jesus Christ. Now, is there any hope for Peter? In verse 60, it says, "Immediately while he spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, 'Before the cock crew, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Is there any hope for Peter? Yes, there is hope because Jesus had prayed for Peter that his faith would fail not. And I believe that Jesus' prayers upheld Peter. Though he failed personally, his faith did not fail. And I ask, which of us has never failed? Peter was saved and he was saved forever. He failed and fell at this great trial, but that wasn't the end for Peter. They may have thought so, but Jesus wasn't done with him. And one of the great sermons I heard as a youth preacher was just simply called, "And Peter." And it was about how after Jesus rose from the dead and the angels gave instruction, and they said, "Go and tell his disciples and Peter." Why did they have to, they didn't say tell the disciples and Andrew. Tell the disciples and John. Why tell the disciples and Andrew? Because Peter's probably sitting there thinking, well, I'm not one of those disciples anymore. Boy, I blew it. I'm out. But Jesus wasn't done with him yet. I'm glad for the grace and mercy of God. Peter went on. He had to have a heart-to-heart discussion with Jesus, didn't he? He had to repent. He had to change his mind and heart. Simon, lovest thou me? To match, aren't you one of them? Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Simon, lovest thou me? Weren't you with them? No, not me. Lord, you know that I love thee. Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he had to bring him to a place of repentance. Can I tell you that Peter was never the same after that? He failed forward. Sometimes you can fail forward when God picks you up and helps you to learn and to go on. Hey, 3,000 saved and baptized on Pentecost, not bad for a man that just denied the Lord three times 50 days earlier. And 5,000 saved a few days later, I wouldn't mind having that. I've never seen 5,000 saved in one day. And to write two books of the Bible, I've never written a book of the Bible. Have you? If you did, it's not inspired. Actually, I was at the bookstore, a used bookstore recently, and there actually was a Bible. And I opened it up, and there was nothing but the cover. The whole Bible was gone. I said, see what the Bible editors have done now? They've cut away so many things, there's nothing left but the cover. Pretty soon there'll be a new version out with just nothing but the cover. Put whatever you want inside of it, doesn't matter. Two books of the Bible. God did great things in Peter's life. And you'd never think when reading this story that God could ever use Peter again. I think we'd be wise to learn from Peter's mistakes. Are you following afar off? Are you sitting at the wrong fire? Are you humble, praying, prideful, presumptuous? Where are you in your relationship with Jesus Christ this morning? And what are you going to do about it on this last Sunday of 2017?